We are in Matthew chapter 18, verses 5 and 6, and I've titled the message this morning, after some thought about it, How to Treat Christ's Humble Believers. And that really sort of sums it up. One of the great characteristics of Christians, of course, is humility. Humility, it's a very great concept, a very great characteristic of Christianity. Believers in Christ are very humble people compared to others. Have you ever noticed that? Christ makes us this way by giving us a new nature. It's just part of our new nature. It's who we are. Christ makes us this way by giving us the influence of His Spirit. Christ brings us up this way by His teaching, you see, by the teaching of His Word. Christ leads us in this way by His example. Christ trains us up in this way by His rod of discipline. And so the Christian has a very great advantage when it comes to humility. By the way, the way into the Christian life is by the way of humility. You don't come to Christ saying, I'm worthy, do you? But you come to Christ saying, I am very unworthy. You come to Christ brokenhearted over sin. You come to Christ begging for mercy. You come with deep repentance in your heart. And so the very starting point of Christianity is deep humility. The Pharisee, by the way, didn't have much humility when he stood publicly in the temple and he prayed with a loud voice and he said, Lord, I'm glad I'm not like other men. Does that sound like humility to you? I'm glad I'm not like that publican over there. I'm glad that I'm a very fine and religious person. The Pharisee didn't have a humble bone in his body, and therefore he wasn't fit for the kingdom of heaven. It says that he went away very proud of himself and very unjustified. But the poor publican stood afar off from the crowd. He wasn't interested in the public perception. He wasn't trying to convince the crowd that he was righteous. This man wouldn't even lift up his eyes to heaven. He thought he was too unworthy to even look up toward heaven where God was. And in great humility, he beat upon his chest and he said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. I want you to listen to what Luke says about this man in Luke 18:14. It says, I tell you, this man went down to the house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Do you see how humility is the first requirement for entrance into the kingdom of Christ? There will be no proud men there. Only humble men belong to Christ. My wife guarding her house is kind of like the angel that guards the way into Christ's kingdom. She stands at the back door, and when we come with muddy boots, she won't let us in. Only those with clean shoes come into our house. And in fact, if you want to go upstairs in our house where the carpet is, you even have to take off your house shoes. Have to go in your socks, you see. And in Christ's house, you have to take off your muddy boots of pride. If you're a Christian and you're lifted up with pride and self-importance, you will soon be brought down. Christ has many tools at His disposal, and He will go to work on you very soon. Christ will not have any in His kingdom who are lifted up with pride. Christ's kingdom is no place for the prideful man. You might remember from last week that the disciples were arguing about who would be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Peter thought that he certainly would be, since he was the spokesman for the group. He was kind of the loud mouth of the group, you see. Simon and Jude, you might remember, thought that they would be the greatest since they were blood relatives of Jesus. Surely we'll have the primary spot. John thought he was the most beloved disciple, which he was. So he probably thought that he would be the greatest. And they were all arguing about it. And it appears that the argument got a little heated. It says that they were disputing about it. Disputed among themselves as to who would be the greatest in Mark 9:34. Now there's a nice picture of the human condition, isn't it? The very disciples of Christ were so filled with pride, so self-absorbed, so self-interested, so preoccupied with their own importance that they argued over who would be the greatest in the kingdom. I want you to notice that Jesus made a rather extraordinary and perhaps even a frightening revelation to the disciples. Jesus said, "You better change your attitude or you won't even get in." Jesus used the word converted. It's kind of what it means, a change. You better change. You better stop arguing about who's going to be the greatest or you won't even get into the kingdom. He said in Matthew 18:3, "Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." He said, you better be changed. You better become as little children if you even want to get in. Jesus was saying it might be better if you just worry about getting in rather than what your status will be in the kingdom. And then Jesus found a little child there in the house, and Jesus said, "Come here, little child." And the child came, and Jesus picked him up in his arms, and he set him down in the midst of the disciples. And Jesus said, "You better become like this little child if you want to get in at all, if you want to enter the kingdom." And so we see first this morning that Jesus loves humility. Jesus loves humility. Our text certainly suggests that Jesus loves the humble man. Jesus has a great preference for the humble man. Did you know that? Jesus has reserved a seat in his kingdom for the humble man. And humility will be the measure of greatness in the kingdom. It will not be who has memorized the most verses. It will not be who has preached the most sermons. It will not be he who won the award for perfect attendance, but the greatest in Christ's kingdom will be the one who was the most humble. Christ adores and respects humility in his subjects. That's why he said in Matthew 18:4, "Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Now, just in thinking back over the scriptures, I suppose that Moses will be very great in Christ's kingdom, don't you? It says in Numbers 12:3, "Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth." So it appears that Moses was the meekest man on the whole earth. Of course, the most humble man in the kingdom will be Jesus himself. Now that's an amazing thing to me. The God of creation, the one who's sovereign over it all, is the most humble. It says in Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 through 8, speaking of Jesus, it says, "Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery," or something to be held on to "be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself," it says of Jesus, "and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." So Jesus will be the greatest in the kingdom, no doubt about it. I suspect Moses may take second place, don't know. And all the chief seats will be occupied by those who are very humble in this life. We're probably going to be amazed at who will be the greatest in his kingdom. The greatest may be those of whom we have never heard. probably won't be pastors or preachers. Brother Dana, I'm pretty sure they won't be deacons. Just kidding. Just kidding. Maybe. But there may be a lot of grandmothers there who spent their days on their knees praying for their little grandchildren. There may be a lot of poor people, a lot of insignificant people in this world who will be very great in the world to come. Humility will be the defining test of greatness in that day. So it's good to be very humble in this world. Blessed are the poor, Jesus said. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the merciful. That's what Jesus said. Blessed are those who don't strike back in revenge. How did Jesus put it? Turn the other cheek. Blessed are those who forgive 70 times, 7 times. Blessed are those who consider the beam in their own eye. And so we see that Jesus loves the wonderful characteristic of humility. This morning we're going to see what great care Jesus takes of His humble servants. Now, to be humble is not typically the way to advancement in this world. Have you found that to be true? If you are quiet and meek and lowly, the world may take that as a sign of weakness. The world doesn't necessarily appreciate humility. The world may even try to take advantage of the humble one. But in our text for this morning, Jesus is going to give some stern warnings to those who would take advantage of His humble disciples. So I would say, be careful, world. Be very careful when you slap one of Jesus' little children. I want you to take note that Jesus is using the example of a little child. And He is encouraging His disciples to become as little children. Now, He doesn't want His disciples to be like children in every way. There are some things about children that we need to grow out of, don't we, when we become adults. But He wants them to be like children in the way of humility. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child. You see what Jesus is talking about? Whosoever shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. The use of a little child here is not to set the stage for Jesus to teach about little children. You understand? I'm very sure that Jesus does love little children. Even I love little children. And Jesus is much more loving than me. Jesus took time to hold children up, to hold them in His arms, to bless them during His ministry. He healed them. He taught them. I know that Jesus takes very great care of little children. But this passage is not primarily about children. It's primarily about being humble believers, you see. Humble disciples. Disciples are compared to children for an illustration. It says in Matthew 18:6, "But whosoever shall offend one of these little ones which believe in Me," you see. It's believers that we're talking about. "It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea." If you offend one of these little ones, believers. You see, you and I are His little ones if we believe in Him. If we are His humble servants, then we are His little children. I don't doubt at all that little infants and little toddlers are special to Him too. How He must love them, you see. But you and I are His little children when we believe in Him. We are like little baby children to Him. And He's going to really appreciate it if someone treats us nice. And He's going to take great offense to it if someone tries to hurt us. want you to just watch how a mother beams if you treat her child like he's special. Have you ever noticed that? Go up to a mother sometime and say, "My, you have a beautiful baby boy. Do you think I could hold him for a minute?" Why, she'll think you're the most wonderful person in the world, the most perceptive person in the world, to recognize how wonderful her baby boy is. But if you come up and say, "Wow, that's really an ugly baby," I'm afraid I'd catch some disease if I held him. Why, her wrath would be upon you. And Jesus takes similar pride in his little children. So we see that Jesus loves it when we receive his humble ones. It says, "And whoso shall receive one such little child," who's the little child? Us. "Whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me." Remember that the little child here is just a picture of the disciple of Christ. The little child is the illustration. All of Christ's people are his little children. We are his little child. It seems here that Jesus is first of all instructing as to how Christians should receive one another. Especially he's instructing as to how we should receive the very humble Christian. And here is the lesson. If we find a very humble and lowly Christian, which of course we all should be, right? We all should be a very lowly and humble Christian. But if we find such a one, our duty is to receive him. He belongs to Christ. And if he's very humble, then he is very great in Christ's kingdom. Now, our natural inclination may be to reject such a person. He may dress differently. He may act differently. He seems very lowly. He doesn't seem to have much to offer. He thinks himself to be nothing. And sometimes we think him to be nothing. But Jesus says, "Whoso shall receive such a one in my name receiveth me." So we are to receive him. But what does that mean? What does it mean to receive him? It certainly means that we are to extend to him the common courtesies. Surely. We don't refuse to shake his hand when he comes in the door. But we shake his hand as if he were the pastor, you see. We extend respect to him as if he were a very prominent leader in the church. We engage with him. We entertain him in our homes. We talk to him. We ask his opinion. He's very humble. He probably thinks his opinion is not wanted and not even relevant. But we receive him by engaging with him and anxiously seeking his opinions. None of you knew my father. My father died a few years back, about the time I became pastor, I believe. He passed away. But my father was a very humble man. You almost couldn't get him to express an opinion. He thought his opinions were of no significance. He was a little awkward socially because he thought himself to be so lowly. Sometimes you almost forgot he was there. If there were five people and four chairs, he wouldn't sit down. He thought others were more worthy of a chair. But I noticed that if anyone took the time to engage him, you see, he was very likable and he had opinions and insights and he was actually a valuable person. He was so lowly and modest, though, that he put himself in the position to be ignored or even trampled upon. You might even forget he was there. And you might forget to receive him as a person. And Jesus says to receive such a one, you see, be kind to him. Make a special effort not to let him lose in this world by his humility and his modesty. Take him into your love and friendship. Include him in your society of friends, you see. Remember, he may be very great in the kingdom of heaven. There was one place, by the way, where my father came out of his shell a little bit. He was a very good bowler. Actually, he was a very good athlete. He would almost never speak of himself, but when we asked him, he would tell us how when he was young, he could outrun the state champion, and I believe him. One day I went to see him play softball. He played for Bemis Bag Company. Anybody ever remember the company called Bemis Bag Company? Brother Jack remembers. He worked for them for years. I went to watch him play softball. He was the fastest man on the team. If he'd hit a ground ball, he'd beat it out almost every time. But he loved bowling too. He bowled in the church league, and it seemed that he had confidence there, you see. People didn't see him in like that in other settings, but they would see him like that at the bowling alley. One day, after the league match was finished, Dad bowled a practice game. He was almost by himself down at the far end of the lanes, except I was there watching. And the overhead projector was still on from the league play. You know how they light up your score. It didn't get turned off. And his score was being projected, and he made strike after strike. About the fifth frame, a crowd began to gather to watch him bowl this game, and he kept making strikes. And by the time he got to the last frame, the whole bowling alley, you see, of people were standing there and rooting him on. Go! Go, Charlie! And they were cheering every strike. They were receiving him. They were acknowledging him as a person, and they were appreciating him. That's the way we are to receive God's humble servants. They have a lot to offer. They're just too modest to publicize it. Some people will tell you every great thing that they've ever done. Have you ever met such a person? And then some people will never tell you anything they have done. My dad was that kind of man. You would never know great things about him unless you saw it for yourself. By the way, he finally missed in the last frame, as I recall. His final score was 279. And the people came up to shake his hand, and they received him as a person. So we see that Jesus loves it when we receive his humble ones, but we also see that Jesus loves it when we receive the humble believer in his name. Did you notice that? The tendency is to overlook the humble Christian. The tendency is to not receive him, to treat him like he's a nobody, to walk past him as though he isn't there, like he has nothing to offer. But Jesus says to receive him in my name. That is, do it on account of Christ. Do it for Christ's sake. Do it because Christ loves him. Do it because he bears the image of Christ. Receive him because Christ has received him. Receive him because he is great in Christ's kingdom. If you receive the humble Christian into your kindness and into your friendship and into your fellowship, if you extend your kindness and care to him, and you do it in the name of Christ, it is considered as though you have received Christ himself. Christ's little lambs stand in the place of Christ in this world. They are Christ's representatives. And if you receive his humble servant, then you receive Christ himself. I want you to note here that Christ notices when you extend even one act of kindness to one of his humble disciples. We often think that Christ will not accept us unless we do very great and momentous things in this world. We think Christ only notices the great evangelist who preaches to thousands of people. But no, he accepts you if you accept one of his little children. That's what it says. He gives you great credit if you receive one of his humble ones. Look in verse 5. It says, and whoso shall receive, what's the next word? One Such little child in my name receiveth me. I want you to know that Christ has a very great love for his church. Did you know it? But his tender regard for his institution extends to each particular member of that great institution, even to the most humble member. He not only loves the family, but he loves each member of the family. Think of it this way: it is a very great honor to Christ if you receive his most humble servants. If you care for them and treat them with respect, then you are doing it for Christ's sake. But now Christ will give a warning to the world concerning the treatment of his humble servants. And we see next that Jesus hates it when men offend the humble believer. Take a look at verse 6. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. You should know that there is a danger in this world in being a humble man. And the danger is that men will abuse him, you see. Jesus was very humble, and what did they do? They abused him. They beat him and they crucified him, and he never lifted a finger against them. And the world will treat humble Christians the same way that it treated Christ. But here Jesus gives a stern warning to those who would offend his humble believers. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believes in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. You know, it's good to have laws in this world. If there were no laws against stealing, then your neighbor would probably come over and steal your car. Did you ever think about that? Laws and appropriate penalties are what maintain law and order in this world. And there are people in this world who hate Christ's people, and they will do whatever it takes to hurt Christ's people. They will take advantage of the humility of God's people. They will take advantage of the kindness and the mercy of God's people. They will take advantage of the peacefulness of God's people. They will take advantage of those who will not strike back. And they will hurt God's people whenever they can. Sometimes Christians are targeted for maltreatment in this world. Have you noticed? Especially in other places. And Jesus here gives a stern warning. He says, don't do it. Don't do it, sir. You know, we get very upset when people hurt little children, don't we? There's just something emotional about that. As callous as we are, even we get angry when we hear of someone abusing little children, hitting them, hurting them, locking them up in closets, starving them, denying them the necessities of life. It makes us angry. And Jesus gets very angry when anyone hurts his little children. You and I are his little children. We are his little lambs. And Jesus will ultimately take very harsh action against those who would hurt us. Jesus has a very high regard for his humble people in this world. Did you know it? And he has fixed a very great penalty for those who would hurt his people. The best way to describe the penalty is to describe something very harsh, which we all understand, and then to say, it will be worse than that if you do it. The eternal punishment in hell for those who abuse his little children will be worse than having a millstone hang around his neck and being drowned in the sea. Did you know that hell is much deeper than the sea? What does it say about hell? It's a bottomless pit, right? There's a bottom to the sea, but there's no bottom to hell. It goes on forever. Hell is much more unbearable than the sea. You fall in the sea, it's a little cold, but the lake of hell is fiery. The sea only kills you, but hell torments you for all eternity. The judgment of God upon those who harm His people will be swifter and surer than a millstone around the neck. By the way, if someone puts a millstone around your neck, you may perhaps escape that. Get your hands untied, perhaps you can pull it off. But you will not escape the judgment of God, which is hung around your neck if you despise and mistreat the people of God. You will sink fast with a millstone around your neck, but you will sink faster under the weight of God's judgment. This is the penalty that God has fixed for those who offend His little ones. Well, here's the simple lesson for this morning. First of all, God loves humble Christians. He loves His humble believers. They are the greatest Christians in God's kingdom, you see, the most humble ones. And Jesus says, receive them. Treat them with great respect and honor. And the flip side of the coin is, don't abuse them. Be good to them. Don't be bad to them, you see. Don't take advantage of their meekness and their humility. This is the special warning from Jesus to the world. Keep your hands off my little ones, you see. Would you bow with me, please?